Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should grasp the thoughts and the minds of each and every listener. It should be something that in particular would be concerning for conservatives and Christians, because as we look at the scripture in Psalms 146, verse 3, we're warned, "Put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help." We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in a position in America today that we, the people, have never been in before as a nation. We're on the very edge, the cusp of being pushed into a socialist, Marxist, communist, tyrannical form of government. Our constitutional republic is being eviscerated, and we're finding more and more those things that we would call emergencies that the government's coming up with to keep us in a constant state of emergency. While we're focused on these states of emergency, the real issue is taking place, and that is the global reset and going back to taking the moral and ethical values, undermining the very foundation. And Psalms 11, verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" We're watching the control of the people by a state of emergency constantly in America, while we find the movers and shakers behind the scene literally taking total control of our constitutional republic and eviscerating it before our eyes. I said just before the break that I believe we're watching the preparation to steal the 2022 election. I'm looking at an article, headlines, "Caught Biden's scheme to take over 2022 elections now in the bullseye." Just imagine if some election monitors or regulator had spotted the hundreds of millions of Mark Zuckerberg dollars flowing through the leftist foundation to local election officers to help them to run the 2020 election before they were delivered. You'll recall that $420 million was identified in an analysis as likely causing the results of the presidential race to swing for Joe Biden instead of President Donald Trump. But if that money had been diverted, halted, left undelivered, what would have been the results? End quote. Further in the article. But it failed. So Joe Biden was sent a backup plan for the election takeover, as allegedly stolen results from 2020 were good only until this fall when the midterms are held. The new plan was to deliver an executive order to every federal agency, every federal office, to work with others to enhance the voting experience for Americans. Through this idea, housing agencies could recruit voters in Democratic districts. Their programs offering benefits could encourage recipients to sign up and vote even more. Further, the article states the move targets Biden's executive order 14019, which was to promote access to voting. And orders every federal agency to develop a plan to promote voter participation, and then give that plan to Biden. The executive order mandates that all federal agencies support approval the third-party organizations to provide voter registration services on federal agencies premises located in states across the nation, the congressional announcement said. However, deciding which third-party organizations will be approved and by whom and based on what criteria is conveniently left out of the executive order. Ladies and gentlemen, Biden's executive order, to be specific, 140-14019, that executive order is making sure that there will be third party, that is non-governmental agencies, that will be responsible for harvesting ballots, getting ballots, counting the ballots, and turning them in as though they're authentic. That sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for the theft of the 2022 election, and we're on the very horizon of that election today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you believe that we're living in a state of emergency over and over and over? Is there ulterior motive by the Biden administration to continue to announce executive orders or to continue to announce some state of emergency? Do you feel that somehow, some way, we're going to watch a replay of COVID restrictions, lockdowns, and mask mandates as we've seen in the past? Do you believe that's on the horizon? And do you believe it for the purpose of stealing the 2022 election? I do. Love to hear from you. We're on the fast track for that. And ladies and gentlemen, the control of the speech, the closer we get to the 2022 election, the more you will find that you're communication with others by the way of big tech, the social media platforms, will be totally restricted. Totally restricted. We're preparing now for Act Two of the emergencies set up for COVID control of the election in 2020. Yet today, ladies and gentlemen, America is just now realizing just how deadly the COVID scam really has been. Looking at an article, it says, Santa Monica Hospital sued for wrongful death after husband's remdesivir treatment fails. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that, as a physician friend said some months back, he stated that in 10 years, the entire doctors and medical community will look back in shame as to what they've done and how they've responded to COVID. And I believe we're seeing a little breakthrough, a little glimmer of light through the dark tunnel that we've gone through with COVID. Santa Monica Hospital sued for wrongful death after husband's remdesivir treatment failed. It wasn't until after Victor Javier had died that his wife learned that he had been treated with the drug remdesivir. It was a complete surprise, his wife said. I didn't even know what remdesivir was. The couple had gone to the Providence St. John's Health Hospital to help Victor Javier's persistent hiccups. If this weren't so sad, it'd be funny. He goes to the hospital because he had persistent hiccups. Instead, the 54-year-old was allegedly improperly diagnosed with COVID-19 and treated with remdesivir without any consent and without allowing him to come home. People should be very careful when they go to the hospital because doctors might make life and death decisions behind your back, according to Javier's wife. Hospitals are not letting patients know what is the background of the drug and will not allow them to make a decision of what they should do. We are helping many families bring claims for the loss of their loved ones after remdesivir and other high-risk drugs were given without the patient's knowledge or consent from the patient or from the family. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in dangerous days, but I'm thankful to see there's a little breakthrough, glimmer of light, that several of the constitutional attorneys have taken a position of filing suit against doctors and hospitals and medical associations for killing, murdering patients under the guise of COVID treatment. I'm looking at an article that says, The Science of Remdesivir versus Ivermectin, A Tale of Two Drugs. A tale of two drugs. One has become the standard of care at an astronomical cost despite studies showing the negative efficacy. despite causing several renal failures and liver damage and lung damage, and despite zero use for outpatients. The other has been safely administered to billions for river blindness and hundreds of millions for COVID throughout the world, and has turned around people from death's door for pennies on the dollar. Yet the former, that is remdesivir, is the standard of care forced upon every patient, while the latter, ivermectin, is scorned and banned in the hospitals and by doctors, and the de facto banning in most outpatient settings. But according to the NIH, a doctor has the same right to use ivermectin as remdesivir. And it's time that people know the truth about remdesivir and its damage to the human body. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another article that shows that we're seeing some change in relationship to what we've been through for 2 years with COVID. Titled the article, Judgment Day for State Officials Who Restricted Pastors During COVID. A state judge in Wisconsin has ruled that the Department of Corrections broke the law when it decided to give lawyers and bureaucrats and even reporters and dog trainers access to inmates during COVID-19, but refused to provide any procedure for clergy to visit the inmates. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty cited the summary judgment for Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge William Hugh that found state officials violated the law and Wisconsin Constitution with their restrictions. He granted the plaintiff's request for a summary judgment, a declaratory judgment, and a permanent judgment against the corrections agency. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on to say, the corrections department had barred clergy from ministering in person to the spiritual needs of the inmates under COVID-19 visitor policy. It kept the policy in place for over a year, providing no access by even vaccinated clergy or, for instance, with the religious services where religious services could be conducted for the patients or for the inmates. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you today that during COVID, we've had our First Amendment rights, our religious liberties, curtailed and in some cases totally blocked and destroyed because under the guise of a COVID emergency. Listen very carefully. Hospitals across America, even today, will require a patient to be sequestered, that no one can go visit, no one can see them. If you put on a mask or a shield, then sometimes the hospitals are still requiring you to stay out. Hospitals today, for the most part, have more security guards than some small state prisons have to protect the prisoners or to keep the prisoners in. Ladies and gentlemen, that is still being promulgated. And the sad thing is, the sad truth is, that some 29 states have total blanket immunity laws that give the hospitals and the doctors and the medical associations total immunity if they murder a COVID patient or a patient under the guise of COVID. I'm looking at an article that says, study. Feds are now pushing the Paxlovid could accelerate COVID mutations. Paxlovid is a new drug that's administered by pill that's doing the same thing that the COVID jab has been doing. Dateline, July the 14th. The Pfizer drug that caused a rebound of symptoms when quadrupled vaccinated, Dr. Anthony Fauci characterized COVID-19 could help accelerate mutations in SARS-CoV-2 following the FDA's expansion of emergency use and authorization, according to the reprint study. In other words, the new drug, the Paxlovid drug that's now being used to replace the COVID jab, or not to replace it, but to implement another approach, is now found to cause a greater level of mutations of COVID. Hear me. It's causing the mutations of COVID that now they're saying the mutations that can be stronger in the fall, just before election, of course, will be used as the national emergency to steal the election November 2022 this year. This article says, John Hopkins medical professor Marty Markey said the study clearly showed that Paxlovid overuse in low-risk people can breed resistance and spawn many new virus mutations, calling it very risky business. And yet that's being pushed today, ladies and gentlemen, by the drug lords, the big pharma, paid for by taxpayer dollars, pushed and promulgated by Joe Biden and the Biden administration. This article further says the FDA nevertheless has authorized state-licensed pharmacists to circumvent doctors by directly prescribing the drug. Philadelphia cardiologist wrote in a newsletter this week that 7 months after the its approval, apparently someone in government has decided that there wasn't enough Paxlovid being prescribed, and so they're prescribing it at a federal level. The physician said he has struggled with quite a few Paxlovid requests recently, mostly from young vaccinated patients. The patients, he said, feel pressured by the government to take the treatment, and they just want some reassurance that the professional, that it's okay to take the drug. He goes on to talk about how he's received panic calls from emergency rooms after the patient has been given the Paxlovid, and especially with the younger and the elderly, that it is causing major mayhem and deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, another article says, a 9-year-old with no pre-existing conditions died just 2 weeks after the Pfizer shot, according to the latest VAERS, that's V-A-E-R-S, data shows. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, today released new data showing a total of 1,359,940 reports of adverse events following the COVID vaccination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is a lie. I believe the number is far more than that. I believe it is probably three or four times as many. But they're admitting, listen, the CDC is admitting 1,359,940 reports of adverse events following the COVID vaccination. I find it absolutely unbelievable that they would even admit that number. But I believe based on other reports and other findings, other research and discoveries, I believe that that's probably a fourth or perhaps less of the total number of side effects and adverse events, with absolutely thousands upon thousands. In fact, Matt Staver, as far back as February of this year, said over 500,000 Americans had died from the COVID vaccination. And I believe that number is probably triple that even today. This article says that in the U.S., 601 million COVID vaccination doses had been administered as of July the 20th, including 355 million doses of Pfizer, 227 million doses of Moderna, and 19 million doses of J&J, Johnson & Johnson. I made a little marginal note at the bottom of this article, ladies and gentlemen. I said we're told by some medical experts that perhaps as many as 1 billion, hear me, as many as 1 billion could die within the next 10 years as a result of the COVID vaccination. We are living in strenuous times. In fact, the Apostle Paul called it in his writings to young Timothy. He said that perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult. And we're living in that era today, ladies and gentlemen, where we're in a state of emergency on a constant basis that deflects our mind and our hearts and our understanding of the fact that we're being manipulated into submission to every whim and wish and desire of the federal government. I'm looking at an article here. We'll read this and then take our next caller. This article says $10 million settlement announced for workers that were forced to read this article again. Let me read the title again. $10 million settlement announced for workers that were forced to take the COVID shot. A $10 million settlement has been announced by Liberty Counsel, which brought a lawsuit against the North Shore University Health System on behalf of workers who were forced during the pandemic to take the experimental COVID-19 shots. Officials with the legal team said that North Shore will have to pay $10,337,500 to compensate these healthcare employees who were victims of religious discrimination and who were punished for their religious beliefs against taking an injection associated with the aborted fetal cells in the COVID vaccination. The class action case was on behalf of more than 500 current and former North Shore workers. The settlement has been filed in federal court in Illinois and still must be approved by the courts. This is a historic first-of-a-kind class action settlement against the private employer who unlawfully denied hundreds of religious exemption requests of COVID-19 shots, the legal team announced. As part of the settlement agreement, North Shore will also change its unlawful non-religious accommodation policy to make it consistent with the law and to provide in the future religious accommodations in every case across its numerous facilities. No position in North Shore facility will be considered off-limits to unvaccinated employees with approved religious exemptions, according to Liberty Counsel's attorney that filed the report. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today living in a constant state of emergency that prevents us from seeing clearly what is taking place with the federal government in the total suppression of truth and suppression of our liberties for the ultimate evisceration of our Bill of Rights. I believe Tom's on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I had an epiphany this weekend. I was enjoying that product built by Mr. Cessna, and I had my two neighbors with me, and we went over to Cedar Key and ate some of the best shrimp. And even at my old age of 75, I've never had that thought like I did. But this nation is really worth fighting for and dying for, isn't it?
Yes.
And my grandchildren, my 7-year-old and my 9-year-old great-grandchildren, I think their lives are worth protecting from being indoctrinated into an evil, sinful lifestyle. So I just thank you for your broadcast.
Well, I'm thankful for you and for your support, thankful for your adding your thoughts on the broadcast today. Our nation is worth fighting for. Our nation has the value that we need to recognize what our founding fathers gave us, and not just in the written documents that we have today, but the shedding of blood and the loss of life, that we might have the freedom that we have today. And yet it's a sad, sad thing to understand, to recognize that the overwhelming majority of Americans seem to be silent. Tom, when it comes to standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen, and saying, no, we'll not submit. No, we'll not allow the government to manipulate us. No, we'll not allow the so-called national emergencies to continue to pop up that's going to destroy the voting in America and to allow another theft of the election in November. I believe that it's time that we wake up, stand up, speak up, and be heard. Tom, thank you so much. God bless you today. Keep looking up.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much. God bless you. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, my big list of data proving the COVID vax is a deadly disaster. This is Dateline, July the 29th. Two remarkable things happened last week, this writer says. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it says, first, I wrote a column about my own personal COVID-19 vaccine death and disaster cluster. I wrote about my wedding on November the 21st, 2021. To the beautiful Cindy Parker Root. We're still in our honeymoon year, as that was only 8 months ago. But a strange and tragic thing has happened since that date. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 33 people, my bride Cindy and I, know have either died suddenly or have suffered severe health issues. 33, that is a remarkable number. That is an unimaginable number. That is an impossible number. That is a one in a billion number. Even more remarkable, I did my research and found out that all 33 had taken the COVID-19 vaccine. Yet since that same date, 8 months ago, not one person we know who is unvaccinated has either died or gotten seriously ill. Quite a case study, quite a damning cluster of death and disease for one group, the vaccinated. I hate to be harsh, this writer says, but if you see the story and don't believe something is very wrong, don't suspect the COVID vaccine is dangerous and deadly, and you don't demand an investigation, you don't have questions, or you still trust everything the government says and that President Joe Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci and the Food and Drug Administration, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, on your own doctor or your own doctor says about COVID-19, then you're brain dead, end quote. And that writer's exactly on target. If you believe that somehow, some way, these are just simply coincidental deaths, that a few days or a few weeks after a COVID shot, a person has a blood clot on the brain and dies, or a person has a heart attack and dies. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, then something is wrong. And yet this writer says that 33 in the past 8 months in that close circle died because of the COVID vaccine, but yet they've not had one friend, relative, or neighbor that was unvaccinated that died. That's proof. That my mother used to call it proofs in the pudding. I'm looking at another article that says, many who got COVID shots diagnosed with brand new conditions. Serious stories abound of healthy people, including athletes, suddenly dying or suffering severe illness without any explanation at all. Many who have posted links to the report on social media have suggested a possible relationship to the experimental COVID jab. What the article continues, when four participating physicians in the greater Toronto area died unexpectedly in 2 weeks, the hospitals made a point of insisting that their deaths were not related to the vaccine. A fifth area physician, just 27 years old, died just this past Thursday, collapsing during a triathlon. Now, a national survey by Zogby Strategies has found that 17% of adults who received at least two doses of COVID vaccine were diagnosed with new conditions within weeks, several months after getting the shot. The figure was 15% had received at least one shot. The respondents also were asked if someone they personally knew had been diagnosed with a medical condition within the same period of time. A significant number of 34% said that they had, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching what is taking place today, and what is happening is the preparation for a theft of the 2020-2022 election. But beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, there's a preparation today for a major economic implosion. A major economic implosion. And I've said, and I pray to God that I'm wrong, I've said that I believe by the last quarter of this year or the first quarter of next year, we're going to find a major implosion financially, a stock market plummeting, a housing market crashing. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the headline that says Blackstone prepares, that an international housing firm prepares, a record $50 billion to snap up real estate during the coming crash in 2023 and 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been deceived, and we have been deceived into believing that somehow, some way, that we are living in a state of emergency, and is to keep our eyes off the fact of what is about to take place with the theft of the election and the destruction of our economy and the evisceration of the very foundations. Every Christian needs to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our lands. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.